go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and I'm excited to be with you today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today.
Well, our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, as well as your families and parishes, to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
Now, we have a great show for you today. Periodically, we interview men and women who are doing rebuilding and renewal in the subject areas that we've been discussing. And we've been discussing the call for Catholics to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Our guest today is Sherry Ann Waddell. She created the first charism discernment process specifically designed for Catholics. She co-founded the Catherine of Siena Institute and currently serves as executive director. She leads an international team who has worked directly, and I want to make a point of these numbers, over 200,000 lay, religious, and ordained Catholics in 1,000-plus parishes in 214 dioceses in five continents. Sherry's book, Forming Intentional Disciples, which came out in 2012, is a bestseller that has sold over 175,000 copies. Sherry, welcome to our broadcast today.
It's great to be with you, Peter and Leslie.
And Sherry, I'd like to say your book is one of the books that's really marked up in our library.
And we quote often in this program as well.
Well, that's encouraging. Thank you for letting me know.
So, Sherry, if you let me, I'd like to refer to you, with all due respect, as a true spiritual pioneer in our Catholic milieu in this generation. The journey to follow Jesus begins with conversion, that deep encounter with the Lord. And this, of course, is laid out in detail in Forming Intentional Disciples. Could you begin to share with us just how we evangelize our own, if you will?
Okay, well, I think the thing is, people, the journey is very different than it used to be, okay? And I think we all know that. We've had gone through this massive cultural change in the last 60 years, and people just don't process religious issues as they once did. And so in the book, in Forming Intentional Disciples, I spend a lot of time sort of outlining sort of the basic journey that 21st century people make, and not just Catholics, but, you know, all people sort of in our culture. Because it's a longer journey for us, it's a slower journey for us. Most of us are starting much further back, even those of us who may be practicing Catholics, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. That has come as a huge surprise to me, because I'm also entered the church. I'm a convert myself, and so I had to try and figure out this mysterious Catholic culture, you know, one piece at a time. So it's been fascinating to realize that for all, even some of our very active people, what we've discovered, especially in the last 5 years, has become clear to us, is that many of them either don't trust God at all, or don't think God cares for them, or they think Jesus and God are two different entities with who are totally different from each other. I mean, there's all these unbelievable things, and these have come out of conversations where people, because we've learned most of this by listening to people. And I had a woman that come up to me at a big conference and tell me this story. She said, you know, she was raised in the church and very active and everything, but she said the truth is, as a child, she'd received all her sacraments, but she thought of God as this nasty, unloving rule enforcer who didn't show up in your life or do anything with you unless you were bad, and then he just came in to punish you. She said, but Jesus was my friend. And I went, wait. So, wait, God is this nasty rule enforcer, doesn't care about you, but Jesus is your buddy? She said, oh, yeah. I said, how does that work? She says, that's simple. Jesus isn't God. I went, oh, okay, we need to back up here way far. And that was the beginning. So I and my co-conspirator, Catherine, went out on the road, and we basically just sat down and listened to all these people, and we asked them to tell us their stories of their lived relationship with God. And these were all practicing Catholics who, at one point, many of whom had left the church and then come back. But what was fascinating, about 50% of them said that, yes, they'd been raised in the church, they'd gone to Mass all their lives, they'd received all the sacraments, etc. But God was not personal for them. God, they didn't believe God cared for them. And they left. A lot of them left very young, either right out of college or their teens sort of thing. And then it took years and years for them, one at a time, to come back, and we would hear that story too. But there, we've gotten to know that there's a lot of people, even active people right now, who are leaders in our parishes, who when they feel safe and they can talk to you, and then you ask them, could you briefly describe your relationship with God? And then stuff just rolls out of their mouths that is absolutely astonishing. Mm-hmm. And right now we know that that's the thing is, I could be institutionally engaged with the parish. So I could maybe be doing sacramental prep or helping with, I don't know, you know, fundraising or social events or whatever, that sort of thing. But in terms of my lived relationship with God, I may not yet have a personal relationship with a God whom I trust, whom I believe cares about me, you know, and will listen to my prayers, for instance, and will respond to them, that sort of thing. So it's to realize, and the thing is, if that's the truth of your lived relationship with God, you will never move spiritually. You'll just stay institutionally engaged. I had one woman I was doing an interview with, this was another turning point, and she was like the head of this huge diocesan women's sort of ministry. And I asked her the question, you know, could you briefly describe to me your lived relationship with God? And she just turned to me and says, well, I don't have one. And I said, no. Inwardly, I was going, no way, absolutely impossible. Because why would you do this? If you didn't have a relationship with God, why would you put all this effort in? And it turned out, well, why would she? Because she lived nearby. It was walking distance. She was raised Catholic. She wanted to do something good for the community and get involved. And this was available, so she just took it on.
So in Catholic catechesis, we take this for granted, don't we, Sherry, that everyone is on that page?
We do. We presume that we can presume they believe in the God of Scripture, the all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God of the Judeo-Christian heritage, Scriptures. But the truth is, the majority of American adults don't believe in that God anymore. And we have to understand, in this culture, we can't presume that they picked it up even as children. Especially, you know what made the difference? When we hear somebody say, you know, all we did, we went to Mass every weekend, we fulfilled the obligation, but nobody talked about it at home. My parents never talked about it. I never saw them praying. You just fulfilled the obligation, and the rest of it was just silence. So you came to your own conclusion. And then the people who said, I grew up loving Jesus, knowing, you know, loving God, knowing that God cared about me, their parents talked about it. They had a living faith, and they talked about this at home with their kids in living ways. And, you know, and so it wasn't just for fulfilling an obligation.
Sherry, this is a great intro to what we want to talk about today, and it's time for us to take a short break now. And when we return, okay, we'll continue our discussion with you, Sherry Waddell, and learn more about Catholic discipleship and the urgent call indeed to be his disciples. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
It never fails when I turn the radio on. It is like God is speaking directly to me.
Catholic Radio Indy.
God is definitely using that ministry.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and we're speaking today with Sherry Waddell, author of the groundbreaking book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and the executive director of the Catherine of Siena Institute.
And Sherry, as we mentioned in the first section today, we have been adherents to your book and have used it regularly since we discovered it several years ago. And I know a key to understanding the process of discipleship is to understand what you call the thresholds. Could you talk to us about that today?
Sure. Basically, there are sort of five, think of them as stages, okay? There's like five stages of conversion that the typical person now in the 21st century West goes through on their way to becoming a disciple. And so think of them each like mini conversions. Most people start so far back, they can't say yes in one big fell swoop. They have to do it in bits. So, you know, I'll say a bit of a yes, and then I'll say a deeper yes, and then a deeper yes, and a deeper yes. And that's pretty much how it works now. The thresholds, we start off with trust. Is there a bridge of trust in place? Because if there isn't one, nothing is going to change, you know, go any further. No one's going to move any further unless we build a bridge, and maybe we have to be the bridge ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then from trust, we talk about early curiosity. People are just, you know, just this is this is not heavy-duty curiosity. This is initial curiosity about the church and then hopefully about Jesus. And then the third sort of transition or threshold that we talk about is spiritual openness, and that's the crucial one for us right now. Because lots and lots of practicing Catholics, we have found, are at least a trust, because if they weren't a trust, they wouldn't cross the threshold. They wouldn't come into the parish at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our leaders are an early curiosity, but they get stuck there until they move into that place where they first have, as they understand it, a personal encounter with a loving God, with a personal God. And for many Catholics, that doesn't happen until they sort of make the transition into what we call spiritual openness. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that is so common that around, especially in parishes all over the U.S., but also in other countries where we've worked, that we're revising everything we do to try and facilitate. Because what happens when somebody just tells God in their own words, like, you know, I don't know if you're there, and I don't know if you can hear me, and I don't know if you care, but if you are, like, I'm here, I'm open, you know.
That's exactly what I prayed when I was in college, that kind of prayer.
Really? Exactly.
Yes.
When we talk about it, lots of people like you all say, hey, I did that, you know. Like, I did it. I tell you one of the most amazing stories, a young man I know who's now an incredible Catholic leader, he grew up in a completely a-religious non-deist family. He was in Asia, raised in a non-deist religious setting, so no God at all. He said he started to pray that when he was 8 years old. No one in his life believed in God, talked about God. There was nothing. It just, God spoke to him from within. He started to pray that. He prayed it for 12 years before he was baptized at 20, and now he's one of the major Catholic leaders in his country. So it is so stunning. But you can be a lifelong Catholic and have gone to church all your life and still not be there either.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever we are, that's why we now start what are called in gifted discernment process, by giving people a chance to pray what we call the prayer of openness, which is just wherever you are in your relationship with God, this is your chance to tell God, I'm open, in your own words. It's very powerful when you say it in your own words.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of Catholics, it's the first time they've ever talked to God in a way that seems personal to them. And, you know, put them sort of, if you will, open the door just a crack. And I have never known God not to respond in powerful ways that are really meaningful to the individual. If somebody prays that seriously, if they're really open, he always responds. So it's a huge turning point. And after that, that's when catechesis, for instance, really comes into its own. And that's especially the point, if they move into openness and beyond, that's when the story of Jesus and what he has done for us and, you know, the whole drama of his incarnation and his life and his suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, all of that, which is the core of our faith, now it has some place to connect. Now it comes to life, and it sets the stage for them to become fascinated with Jesus and then to decide whether or not they're going to seek to follow Jesus as his disciple in the midst of his church. Mm. And so that's why it's such a huge turning point. And yet our rough estimate is somewhere probably 97% of Catholics who still hold on to the identity, whether they practice or not, have never made that transition.
Mm, that's powerful.
And so it really undermines the fruitfulness of everything else we do.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do make that, become open to this whole new possibility, then everything begins to change.
And they start becoming disciples, hopefully, right?
Yeah, well, now they can take it all in.
Right.
They could begin to pray. They can begin to, you know, contemplate and be curious about Jesus and learn about him, all that sort of thing. But they're in a whole nother, it's like they're in a whole nother spiritual realm, and they're open now, and there's this foundation there and they can move much more quickly.
So, Sherry, I'm very interested in people that are in our parishes that can understand this process, and I'm interested and intrigued by what you refer to as an Ananias training. Can you help us understand today what you mean by that?
Sure. Ananias training is something actually that Catherine Coolidge and Bobby Vidal, Catherine's on our staff and Bobby's one of our friends, mm-hmm. who actually created based on the thresholds and all the material in forming intentional disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's a training for ordinary Catholics so that we can become just informal evangelizing companions to anybody in the parish, outside the parish. And they learn how to tell their own story. They learn how to hear somebody else's story of their lived relationship with God and recognize where they are on that journey, what thresholds they might be at, and how to meet them where they really are in a way that's helpful. They also spend a lot of time with them going over the great story of Jesus, i.e. the kerygma, the whole story
amen.
Of Jesus's life and redemptive work and suffering and death, resurrection, and what that means for us. And they get to spend a lot of time wrestling with that so they could actually share it with somebody else, and especially so that they themselves, you know, can integrate this into their own spiritual lives.
I think, you know, Cher, I was thinking I've been a sponsor three different times in RCIA with different women, and this would have been a wonderful training for me to have to really know how to accompany them as they entered into the church. Are you seeing this used in RCIA?
Oh yeah, I mean that was our dream, that it would be useful everywhere, in RCIA teams, in sacramental prep, in youth ministers or people on the youth team, any kind of understanding in pastoral counseling, adult faith formation, or evangelism, just out in the neighborhood with family and friends, so that you can actually, you know, people who maybe say, I don't believe at all, I don't believe in God at all, I'm an ex-Catholic, I'm a whatever, fine. But it gives you the sort of awareness and confidence and skills, basic skills, to just come alongside these people in ways that are helpful. So don't send them running for the hills, you know, but that they feel met, they feel listened to, accepted, you know, as where they are in their own journey, so we can affirm all the journey they've been on, where they've been in the past, where they are now, because as we say, you know, where you are now is a great place to be, because that's where God's going to meet you.
Amen.
You know,
well,
so wherever that is.
We're going to have to take another break now, Sherry. This is very interesting and good. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Sherry Waddell, the leader in this powerful apostolate, the Catherine of Siena Institute. We'll discuss big picture issues on what it means for us to be on mission and becoming a missional church. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. We are very blessed today to have as our guest Sherry Waddell, the best-selling author and executive director for the lay apostolate, the Catherine of Siena Institute. Now, Sherry, I've heard you say that Christendom here in the West is over, and we now are in a phase that you're calling missiondom. Share with us, would you, what it means and where we personally need to do and adjust into this new phase?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Christendom was a world where the overall culture around you and the music and your family and your friends and what everybody around you believed sort of reinforced Christian faith at some level. Like I used to say, like, think of, the opening lines of It's a Wonderful Life. And they're showing, George, everybody praying for George Bailey, and angels in heaven are discussing it and saying, we've got to help George Bailey. This is his big night and all that. All of that, that was in 1947. That was a world that, a movie they would not make today. Because you would not presume there was a God who was listening to you and that you're all praying to and he's beneficent and he cares, he's sending angels. That's a Christendom worldview. But now you won't have that. So the difference is we are now swimming upstream against the culture. The culture will not just carry us. We used to think, Catholics used to think, that you would just go along with your family, whatever faith you were raised in. You would just go along. That would be your identity for life. The larger culture would support you. And it was just a matter of getting you into church to show up and get your sacraments. But that's not the world we're in at all. And especially, it's not the world that encourages a belief in a personal, loving God, the all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God of Scripture, of the Christian tradition. So we're going to have to be much more proactive. We have to provide a lot more personal support to people and not assume that just because they went through, First Communion prep, that they got it. The chances are very high that they didn't get it. And there's no reinforcement in the rest of their lives, even among their Catholic family, who may have just brought them in to fulfill their Catholic parent obligation, but now they're done and they're out of there. So always we need to start where somebody is. Our motto is never accept a label in place of a story. Always ask someone to tell you. You have to earn the right to ask, but earn the right, build the trust so they can tell you what their real journey of their real relationship with God, their understanding of God has been to this point, so that you know where they've been, where they are now, and where to meet them. But we have to understand we can't presume any of this. They have not heard the story, the kerygma of Jesus, and most people have to have heard his whole story as a story told at least 7 to 11 times in its entirety to even begin wrestling with whether or not I believe this, and if I believe it, what does it mean for me, and what am I going to do with it? Mm-hmm. So we're starting way back, and we have to be aware that even the parents, say, who bring in children for sacramental prep, probably in their own spiritual development, they're way back there as well. This is, an obligation they're fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So never accept a label in place of a story, and we want to use, in everything we do, we want to use what I call Emmanuel language, meaning God, personal God with you language. So not past tense and not abstract language, but, for instance, when my bishop preaches, and he's a wonderful preacher, he talks about Jesus in a way that is he's here, he's right here, active, present tense, loving, turning towards you, he's right here, so it comes across. He's active, and he's present, he uses his name Jesus, his personal name, and uses personal pronouns, and not an abstraction. This is a real person who is seeking relationship with us, and so that sort of thing. Talking using what I call Emmanuel language, breaking the silence about Jesus in every conceivable way. The fact that God wants a personal relationship with you, which a lot of Catholics didn't know, that he is here personally present. Obviously, the stories, all the ways that Jesus is present and what he offers us and what he is seeking from us and what he brings to us, and reinforcing that in as many different ways in the parish culture. And the second thing that's really crucial is intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. praying for. We don't control people through intercessory prayer, but what we can do is remove impediments to faith, obstacles to faith, that keep people from seeing the good, from and desiring it and wanting it and choosing it, and that may keep them from seeing God as a personal, as someone, as a personal God who is seeking them out for their good and desires to be united in love with them.
So intercession, intercession is really important to Leslie and me. In the last minute and 45 seconds, tell us how we can get intercession moving in our local parishes.
Well, that's the big, that's what I'm wrestling with right now, because the truth is most parishes don't have anything like it. Mm-hmm. I think what I would, how would I put it this way? You need to begin, it's just helping people realize that we, in intercession, what are we doing? We are participating in Jesus' intercession. He is there in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, in your parish, 24/7. The same active Lord who is at the right hand of the Father is simultaneously present in the Eucharist. And what is he doing right now? Well, the biggest thing he's doing is interceding. And the Catechism says he is calling us to join in his intercession for God's purposes of love to be accomplished.
Yes.
And so I think one thing, especially to do it, to intercede for your parish or your diocese or your neighborhood or whatever in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist could be enormously, because you're there, you're at the feet of the great intercessor and joining in his prayers. And there's so much more to it than that. But I would start now just as say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Prayer, see, the thing is, intercessory prayer covers, crosses all frontiers. Nobody can keep it out. There is nobody on the planet who does not have living contact with the power of Christ in a real way.
Sherry, we would love to go for another half hour, but our time is coming to a close. I want to thank you for being with us, and I want to encourage our listeners to go to your website, www.CatherineOfSiena Institute.
Actually, no, it's actually www.Siena, S-I-E-N-A.
Oh, okay, thank you for that.
O-R-G.
Thank you for that, and thank you for being with us today. We thank our listeners today. To hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and please make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.CatholicRadioIndy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.